Your Bible this morning, and would you turn with me to Genesis chapter 12? Genesis 12. I want to read the first four verses of this great chapter, and I'm going to launch into a thought this morning that the Lord has laid upon my heart, not just because it is Baby Dedication Sunday, our first one of the year, but there's a great theme here that I think is a challenge to all of us. If you'd stand with me once you've found your place. In Genesis 12, I want to begin reading in verse 1. This is what we call these four verses, the Abrahamic covenant. And I want you to notice, verse 1 says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram," he's not Abraham yet, he's just called Abram at this point. God says to him in the beginning of his journey, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house." Now, this is one of the most amazing statements in the Bible. Unto a land that I will show thee. Abraham wakes up this particular day and says to his wife, "We're moving. God's called us to go somewhere." She said, "Where?" Abraham said, "I have no idea. God didn't tell me where. He just told me to get up and go." And Paul speaks about this in Hebrews 11 when he says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out," listen to this next statement, "not knowing whether he went." So Abraham goes by faith. Now notice what verse 2 says, "And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Verse 3, "I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Boy, you keep seeing that word "blessed" show up in that great text, don't you? Verse 4, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." What I want to do this morning in these few moments we have left, I want to preach for just a little bit on the subject, the circle of life. The circle of life. You say, what's the thought, preacher? We are blessed, don't miss this, to be a blessing. Every blessing, God gives you and I multitudes of blessing in this life. And God's not asking us to do this. He's asking us to take the blessings he's given to us. And he's asking us to take that blessing and to be a blessing with it to someone else. See, all those good things God's done for you and I, they're not supposed to all stay with us. It's a circle. He blesses us. I take that blessing and I'm a blessing to someone else. And because I'm being a blessing to someone else, I get more blessed. And then I'm supposed to take that blessing and I'm supposed to be a blessing to someone else. And because I'm being a blessing to someone else, because I bless, God blesses me some more. And I'm supposed to take that blessing and go be a blessing to someone else. It's a circle that's never supposed to end. But listen, in many people's lives, Brother Rob, it's never even begun. We've been blessed, 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 but we can't name on one hand the people we've been a blessing to. And all you got to do is get out there on social media and watch. I mean, everybody's got rights. Everybody feels like they've been a victim of something else or someone else, and the whole world owes them something. I'm here to tell you this morning, the world don't owe you nothing. You and I are the ones who are in debt this morning. We've been blessed. Would you let me encourage you a little bit this morning, teach you something about this great thought? Pray with me and we'll be seated. Father, we love you. Lord, we have just a few minutes left for the preaching. Lord, I want to get said everything I'm supposed to. I don't want to waste any time saying something I'm not supposed to say. So Spirit of God, guide my mind. Prepare every heart to receive the great truth you've given to me this morning, Lord. I want to rejoice in how much you have blessed me. And Lord, use this message to give me more ideas and more ammunition and more, Lord, attention to detail to be a blessing to others because you've been a blessing to me. Bless this hour, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, church. Of course, it is our first baby dedication Sunday of 2025, but it's something else. It's also our Arise Youth Conference send-off. And what a great day. We're celebrating the youngest among us, and then we're taking the teens and we're sending them off for a week of spiritual refreshment. Abraham is living in a place called the Ur of the Chaldees, east of ancient Israel in what is today modern-day Iraq. God came and chose Abram, and why he did to choose him above all others to be the father of a people was a sovereign act of an omniscient God. We don't know all the whys and whats, but we know this. God gives him a command, but he gives it to him, Brother Kelly, without giving him any details. God tells him what to do, but he doesn't tell him where it's going to happen. You know what Abraham had to do? The first encounter he had with God, he had to operate in faith. See, when we say, well, I'd trust the Lord if he'd show me everything that's going to play out. No, that would be basing your decision on facts, not faith. Anybody can, when they count all the, you know, chips and they line up all the resources and say, yeah, I'll trust God now that I see all this. That's not faith. That's operating on facts. Faith is when you got a word, but you don't have any evidence yet. Hey, when I got saved, Brother Ken, I wanted my sins forgiven. I wanted to go to heaven when I die. But I still, that was 40-some years ago, I still am not in heaven. Now, I thank God that I have my sins forgiven, but my point is, when I got saved, I had to step out in faith. I had to trust something that I didn't even fully understand, let alone fully now embrace as a 40-some-year-old believer. Abraham's journey starts with faith. Are y'all listening? By the way, if you're right with God, your journey started with faith also. Now listen to me. God gives five statements or what we would call covenant conditions in this next couple of verses here. Some of them are personal. They are only for Abraham. We can't claim them. Now, some of them are not personal. Some are monolithic. They're for everyone. And I want to quickly highlight to you which ones are and which ones aren't. Notice that first statement in the very first verse. God says to him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. That's the first bit of instruction God gives Abraham. And listen to this. This is not instruction to you and me. God's not calling all of us to pack our bags and move somewhere today. And once we get on the road, God will show us where we're supposed to stop. God isn't telling you to do that. Many of you wives are thankful that God didn't do that. Amen. This is not to you. It is not to me. This is not monolithic. It's not for all of us. This is applicable only to Abraham. See, God sometimes does this. But this is not universal, it's personal, it's for Abraham. This is part of the covenant between God and Abraham. Now notice the second thing he says to him, right here in the verse, he says, I will make of thee a great nation. I hope I'm not going to let you down right now, but this isn't for you and I either. First of all, can I say this? We're not going to be a patriarch and a father of a nation of people. This is not a statement to you and I. This is not universal. It is not monolithic. It is personal, and it's something God said just to Abraham. But notice the third thing he says. First he says, get thee out of thy country. I'll take you to a land. I'll show it to you. He said, I'll make of thee a great nation. Then he says, I will bless thee. How many of us would like to claim that promise this morning? Would you like to claim that? Can I give you some good news? You can claim that one. We can claim this because the theme of blessing for his people with his grace and favor is found from one part of the Bible all the way to the end of the Bible. It's everywhere. This is a universal promise. It's not just personal for Abraham. It's monolithic. It's for all of us. It's a universal promise. God wants to bless you this morning. Are y'all listening to me? Notice the fourth one. He says, I will make thy name great. Hope I'm not letting you down here. This one didn't for us either. You know, in the New Testament, there's only one person that's great, and his name is Jesus. Every one of us are to live to make that name great. We're not supposed to seek any greatness for ourselves. Matter of fact, the Bible says we're to make ourselves of no reputation. That means it ain't about you. It ain't about me. Paul said in the book of Colossians that in all things he might have the preeminence. This is not a universal promise. It's personal. It's for Abraham. But notice the final one. He says, thou shalt be a blessing. Boy, oh boy, do I like that. If you couple together statement number three, I will bless thee, and you look here at this fifth one, thou shalt be a blessing, we find out this is universal. It's not just personal for Abraham. Listen, the actual key of this life principle, God is telling Abraham, he's telling me, he's telling you that he wants to bless us because he wants us to be a blessing. He's talking about the circle of life. Now, this is simple. It's amazing how many people miss it. God's plan from the very beginning regarding his people, those that belong to him, those who have trusted him as their Savior, is I will bless thee and thou shalt be a blessing. See, God was stating that because you trust me, I will help you. Because you trust me, I will favor you. Because you trust me, I will bless you. And you know why God said I'll do that? I'll do it for one reason, because I love you. Not because you're worthy, not because you've merited, not because you're so special, not because you're better than everyone else. The reason I'm doing this for you is because I love you. There is no other explanation for it. I'm blessing you because I love you. But there is a caveat. I don't want it to all just come to you. I want you to take that blessing and I want you to give it to someone else. And you're going to get even more blessed when you do that. Then I want you to take that blessing and I want you to give it to someone else. And you're going to get even more blessed because you do that. And I want you to take that blessing and give it to someone else. And you're going to get even more blessed because you did that. And then I want you to take that blessing. Are y'all with me? It's a circle. I said it's a circle. Would you let me stop preaching for a minute and start meddling just a little bit? You know how we should wake up? Brother Steve, every day of the world we should wake up expecting a blessing. I'm not charismatic. I'm not preaching health and wealth, prosperity, Christianity. I'm telling you, we should wake up every day expecting a blessing. You say, well, why, preacher? Because he's expecting you to be one. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It ain't about us getting a nicer house and living a fancier life. Every day we should wake up expecting a blessing. Every day our theme verse, our declaration should be Psalms 118:24. This is a day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Listen, believing that God is going to bless me today should make me praise God today. See, there's a... would you let me meddle for a minute? There are so many cynical people, lacking faith, narrow in their thinking. If you won't be offended, I'm going to make a statement. Who unfortunately think God is as messed up in his thinking as they are in theirs. Can I say that again? Who think God's as messed up in his thinking as they are in theirs. What do you mean by that, preacher? Some of you cannot help anybody without a lecture. If you're going to open your wallet, if you're going to sacrifice some of your time, bless God, the person you're going to do it for is going to get a lesson from you. They're going to hear your opinion about it. How many of y'all can be honest and transparent enough to say, God bless the fire out of me? And it's amazing how many times he blesses me, let alone I don't get a lecture, Brother Ken. I don't even acknowledge it. I just live in it like I'm entitled to it. Some of you, and I'm not being unkind, I'm just stating the facts this morning. Never help anyone before they crash and burn. Well, they need to learn their lesson. Aren't you glad God ain't treated you that way? How many of us this morning live in nicer houses than we ought to live in, drive nicer cars than we ought to drive, have better jobs than we deserve, have more money in the bank than we deserve? And like my friend Brother C.T. Townsend says in that song, "Better Than I Deserve," hey, listen, most if not all of us have been treated far better by God than we deserve. We don't deserve anything, and yet God's nearly made us wealthy with all the blessings He's put into our life. Why is it everybody you help, you don't help them until literally they're in desperation? Well, they need to learn. They need to get some character. Well, I'm sure you've had just a boatload of it your entire life. You get up at 4 in the morning and walk with God for 3 hours every day and then work 10 hours every day and then have family devotions every night and invest in your kids and family. See, you're so screwed up in your past that it's prejudiced your thinking to the point you think God's as goofy as you are. God ain't messed up. I'm going to make a statement that some of y'all don't even believe, but it's the truth. God blesses people into change. Some of y'all don't believe this, but it's the truth. What do you mean, preacher? God blesses people into change. He does not demand change before He blesses people. You're proof of it. I'm proof of it this morning. Let that sink in for a minute. If you'll be a good boy, Daddy will be good to you. Wait, wait, wait. Time out, time out. When did God ever say to you, if you behave, I'll be good to you? God's been so good to you and I, and half the time we was cussing Him and acted like we didn't even know He existed. And He still blessed us, fed us, gave us water to drink, gave us food to eat, gave us a job. Unless you've been a deacon or a preacher since you was in a nursery, and you've been wide open for Jesus since the hour you stepped out of your mama's womb, and every one of us got a bunch of days that we were walking the wrong direction. Every one of us got hours, even today in our life, where we don't walk with God. We don't seek His will. We don't follow His leadership. We don't listen to His promptings. And you know what He does anyway? He's still good to you. What's that proof, preacher? That proves God blesses people to get them to change. He doesn't demand change before He blesses. That may not seem like a big deal, but it's a real big deal. We all know Romans 2:4. The Bible says, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing," this is the problem, we don't know this, "that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." You know why God's been so good to you? Because He's expecting more out of you. You don't get to do whatever you want. He's been good to you because He's trying to get your attention. Y'all listening? I love Psalms 130, verse 3 says, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities," that means keep track of all of our stupid things we do. "O Lord, who should stand?" Verse 4 says, "But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Hey, listen, if God's forgiven you and it emboldens you to keep sinning, you are missing the whole point. God's goodness ought to put the fear of God in you. I lied. I wasn't honest. I didn't do what I said I was going to do. And God took care of me. What in the world's going on, Lord? I ought to be in a woodshed. He goes, This is the woodshed. You got a bunch of stuff, but you don't feel very good. You know why you don't feel good? Because you've been blessed, but you haven't yet decided to be a blessing. Y'all hear me this morning? The requirement for God's blessing was not Abraham's perfection, Brother Ken. It was Abraham's trust. Did you hear that? The requirement for God's blessing was not Abraham's perfection, but Abraham's trust. How do we get in the New Testament preacher into Christ? Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not performance, it's faith. The next verse, 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I love Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. You don't have what you have this morning because you're good. You have what you have this morning because Jesus has been good. You say, why is this a big deal, preacher? Because God's made a promise this morning that's universal to everybody in this room. He says, I'm going to bless you. But then, Brother Mike, in the next breath, he says, and thou shalt be a blessing. He didn't say, John Jenkins, I want you to have a big house. I want you to drive an F-350, a Power Stroke diesel. I want you to have a yacht. I want you to have... He said, I want you to be a blessing. I don't think he forbid any of those things. He hadn't given them to me yet, but he hadn't forbidden them. That's not even what God's thinking about. He don't care about your stuff. He cares about whether or not you're a blessing. Do people drive by your house and say, boy, God's sure been good to them people? Or do you go by people's house? When you leave, they say, what a blessing. There's a big difference. One's showing off, the other one's giving away. I knew it'd get quiet. You can preach on almost anything and get Baptists shouting until you start talking about being generous. Listen to me, I'm trying to encourage you this morning. You know why God's been so good to you? There's only one explanation. He loves you. Love always wants to bless. Did you hear what I just said? Love always wants to bless. Show me someone who's a blessing to someone, and I'll show you someone who loves someone. Love always blesses. Did you hear me? Love always blesses. It gives, it helps, it strengthens, it comforts, it builds up. Matter of fact, can I say this? If you're not a blesser, then you're not a lover. Bible even asks the question, Brother Rob, how can you say the love of God dwells in you when your brother has need and you say, oh, I'll pray for you, brother, when you have the wherewithal to do something about it? The question of the text is, how dwelleth the love of God in you? What he's saying is, I've blessed you because I want you to be a blessing. Amen. I hesitate to even bring this up this morning, but I was talking with someone not long ago, and I no one will know who I'm talking about. I'm not going to give enough details that you would. But boy, they were just... You'd have thought Brother Ken, their mother-in-law, moved in or something. They were just absolutely... pouring it out on me. They were so discouraged. I don't normally do this. I usually, when people come to me one-on-one, in the pulpit I might be intense, but one-on-one I'm usually very gracious. But this person just wouldn't shut up. They just, Brother Money, it was just, you'd have thought, honestly, that they were Job's brother. I'm being sincere. They were just distraught beyond description. And, it reminded me how that we can have thousands of blessings in our life and one or two problems, and all we want to talk about is one or two problems. Do I have a witness? You can have 100 things going your way and have one setback, and all you want to do for the next month is talk about that setback. You know how I know you do that? Because I do it too. But I was listening, Brother Kelly, and listening. And I don't always do this, but I raised my voice a little bit. It was a phone conversation. And I said, stop! I could tell I startled him. I said, you are so lost in yourself. I said, I have helped people this week who have lost loved ones. I have talked to parents who have a son or daughter out in the world who are devastated beyond description. I've talked to a spouse who's trying to figure out how to pick their life up after they found out just this last couple of weeks that their spouse has been cheating upon them. I said, I've talked to a pastor who's not so sure if he's got a week or two left in his church. His church is about ready to blow up. He's about getting ready to get thrown out of the church. I said, do you really have it as bad as you think you do? I wasn't being mean. They didn't need to listen here. They'd had one for about an hour and I couldn't take any more. I said, would you get over yourself? It's hard to take that kind of medicine because we're all so consumed with ourselves. Can I just be blunt? Narcissism runs in our families. We all got a good dose of it. You know what our Savior's trying to tell you now this morning? He said, with this blessing that I want to give you, I now want you to go and distribute this blessing to someone else. And just as soon as you're done, come back and I'll have another blessing for you. And as soon as you get that, I want you to go share some of it. And as soon as you share it, come back, I'm going to give you some more. And as soon as I give you some more, I want you to go spread some more of that around. And when you get back, I'm going to... You know what we live in what's called the selfie age. You ever notice that? Everybody's Facebook post is an angle of them that's better than they really look. And if you know anything about iPhone cameras, you can doctor them up even. You can make the nose shorter, you can make the eyelashes longer enough. You know what God's telling us this morning? Let's get out of the selfie age and let's get back into the other's age. Blessings, I'm going to make this statement a couple times before we're done in a moment. Blessings, Brother Kelly, are not supposed to terminate with me. Did y'all hear that? Blessings are not supposed to terminate with me. Every blessing God gives me, I need to be thinking a way that I can keep it going. I wonder how many of us this morning are missing blessings from God because they always terminate with us. I'm fully convinced, Brother Ken, that on the loading dock of God's warehouse, there's a bunch of blessings with my name and your name on it. But God has never told us it's there. Because the last load we got all stayed in our house. The last load we got all stayed in our cabin. The last load we got all went into us. The Lord says, that ain't what this is for. Oh, I don't mind you taking some of the blessing. I don't mind you enjoying the journey. But it's not about us. It's about others. It's called a circle of life. Can I ask you this morning, are you a taker or are you a giver? Are you an encourager or are you a discourager? Are you a keeper or a distributor? Are you blessed and a blessing? Would you turn real quick? I'm almost done. Would you turn real quick to Proverbs 11? I want to show you a verse. If you give me just a couple minutes, I'm going to wind this thing down this morning. But don't miss... We're about to land, but where we're going to land is really important. Look at verse 24. Oh, what a verse. Proverbs 11:24. Notice what it says. Talk to me out loud. There is that does what? Scatter. That means disperse. That's what that word means, to disperse. There is that scattereth, and yet what? Increaseth. That don't make no sense. You mean the way I get more is I got to give what I got away? That's what he just said. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to what? You talk about a convicting statement. Now, I'm going to definitely stop preaching right here and meddle for a minute. That word, more than is meat, is the Hebrew word yashur. And it means, Brother Kelly, morality. You know what that verse just said? There is that withholdeth more than is moral. How much do I really need to survive? You know what most of us do? Brother Ken, every time we get a pay raise, we just up our standard of living. Bigger house, nicer car, fancier this, fancier that, and we live just as tight as we ever did because we don't understand what God's doing when he's blessing us. He's not blessing you so you can have more. He's blessing you so you can be a blessing. He don't mind you having stuff. He don't mind you having a boat. He don't mind you having a second home on a lake somewhere. He don't mind you driving a nice car. None of that matters to him. What he's doing is so much bigger than that. What he's looking for is some people he can partner with who'll help him be a blessing to the world. And he'd like you to be one of those partners. This is what I call, number one, the biblical principle. It's so simple. There is it scattereth, yet increases. There is it withholdeth more than is meat or more than is moral. It's not moral to be selfish. It's not moral to be small. By small, I mean small in our thinking. It's about me. It's about ours. It's about us. No, it's about them. It's about them. It's about them. It's about them. We don't have all the ballots counted yet, but we've been collecting mission ballots the last few weeks. And I've not seen them all, but I've seen a handful of them. And man, have I been blessed. So many of you marked the highest number on everything. So only that's good stewardship. Do you understand what we're doing with missions? We're trying to get the gospel to the world as far as we can go, as fast as we can go. Oh, we don't want to blow everything and not have any stewardship at home, but we want to get the seed out of the barn as fast as we can because the world's dying and going to hell. And Jesus might just give us a bunch more seed if we'll take this seed and send it where it's for. It's a scary principle. Brother Jeff, because if we give always thinking, if I give this, I won't have as much as I need. What you're really saying is, I run the show. I'm not trusting God. Don't get mad at me. But a lot of people, their whole life, they've been accumulating stuff. And especially as they get older, this can happen to someone. Well, I can't give this away. You know, I don't work a full-time job anymore. My earning power is not there anymore. You've been running the show all these years? Or have you been trusting God all these years? Some of you are waiting for a rainy day. And I hate to tell you this, it's raining right now, but not in your world, in somebody else's world. That's good. Yes. And I choose to believe God will bless me if I will be a blessing. And you know why I believe that? Because he's already done a real good job blessing me. I know I'm crossing the grain with some of y'all. I'm scratching the chalkboard right now for some of y'all. This pastor saying I got to give more. I ain't even talking about money. I'm talking about blessings. It's a biblical principle. Notice the next verse. The liberal soul shall be made fat. That's my life verse. Amen. Hey, man, God wants the only place you're supposed to be a liberal is when it comes to money. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. That means blessers get blessed. Did you hear that? I love Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Every time I'm a blessing to someone else, God views it as I'm being a blessing to him. What a way to live. We've all heard that beautiful song. I dreamed I went to heaven. You were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing. Then someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man. And he was smiling as he came. He said, friend, you may not know me now, but then he said, but wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8, and every week you would say a prayer before the class would start, and one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus into my heart. The chorus says, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave. I love the stanza that says, then another man stood before you. He said, remember the time. A missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave anyway. Jesus took that gift you gave. And that's why I'm in heaven today. One by one they came as far as your eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices you made, they were unnoticed on this earth, but in heaven now proclaimed. Now, I know up in heaven, you're not supposed to cry, but I'm almost certain there were tears in your eyes. As Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord, and he said, my child, look around you. Great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave. 2 Corinthians 9 says in verse 6, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. This ain't supposed to be like having surgery. If God's got to rip it out of you, you're missing it all. It's supposed to be a circle. You get blessed and you will be a blessing. And you get more blessed, and you go be more of a blessing, and you get blessed even more, and you go and be a blessing even more, and it ain't supposed to ever stop. Remember that A&E Channel reality show a few years ago called Hoarders? Y'all remember that? Man, that was crazy. Them people were nuts. Couldn't even walk through their houses. There was so much junk. A paths through the living room. I was reading an article a few years ago about that show, and a psychiatrist said that people who are hoarders have a mental disorder. And I thought, well, I'm a pastor, not a psychiatrist, but I know a bunch of people that got a spiritual disorder. They're hoarders of blessings, not realizing that that's not what they're for. I'm done, but let me give you a last final statement. We see not only the biblical principle, but let me end with a bountiful promise. Boy, this is powerful. Stay with me for just a minute. In John 7, you know the famous verse. Verse 38, the Bible says this. He that believeth on me, don't miss this, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now the next verse, Brother Jeff, as you know, tells us this spake he of the Holy Spirit. What God was saying to you and I, when you get saved, I'm going to put myself inside of you in the form of the Holy Spirit. And he didn't say you're going to become a stagnant pond. He didn't say you're going to become a little creek. He said, I'm going to turn you into a raging river. We've all seen in a scary way in the last few weeks that raging rivers overflow their banks. Now that's scary what we've seen in the news, but I want to put a spiritual analogy on it as I end this morning. God's been so good to you and me. He's blessed us so much. You know what he wants that blessing to do? He wants it to overflow our banks. In Genesis 49, I'm done, but don't turn there. I'll just quote it for you. In Genesis 49, is Jacob's children, he's in Egypt. He's been brought down there by his son Joseph. And right before his death, he brings every one of his children in. And he has a prophetic pronouncement he makes about their life. They're all good, but the one I like the most, Brother Ken, is the one he declares about Joseph, the son that God has used to save the whole family. Let me quote it for you. He says in verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough. A bough is a description of a cluster, the whole apparatus that grapes grow upon. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well. I love it. Here's the verse. Whose branches run over the wall. What's that mean, preacher? Oh, is that powerful? He said, Joseph's not only going to have what he needs. Joseph's not only going to have clusters of grapes and a vineyard, just a birth. Everywhere you look, there's clusters everywhere. He said, but I'm going to put him beside a well. He's not only going to have full of the grape arbors. He said, but they're going to be so moisturized by the well. He said, they're going to grow to the point that when you walk by his place, it's going to grow outside of his vineyard and they're going to be hanging over the outside walls. What a picture of the New Testament Christian's life. We're supposed to be so blessed that when people walk by our place, it's just hanging over the walls. You hungry? Go by Joseph's place, man. There's always stuff hanging over the walls. Oh my goodness. I don't know how we're going to make it. We got God. This is it. That's not supposed to be your testimony. Could I say this without being unkind? You did too much of this. And as a result, God dried up the well. He wanted you to be a well flowing. He wanted it to turn into a river. He's got plenty of stuff where he's from. And he likes to distribute it. But not to us, but through us. What overflow or hanging fruit do you have this morning in your life that you need to be blessing other people with? How many of you could say honestly, and I think it's a bunch of you, that God has blessed me. He's given me peace in my heart. I don't live with a bunch of anxiety. I don't live with a bunch of fear. I got peace in my heart. You understand? If you got that blessing from God, it ought to be hanging over the walls. Everybody comes around you and I ought to leave with encouragement. In a sense, God's good and God's going to take care of us. And it's going to be okay. So where do you get that from, preacher? It's supposed to be hanging over the walls. You think God's short in supply of peace this morning? You know why you ain't got no peace? Because you do this every time God gives you peace. You try to save it for yourself. Remember what happened when the nation of Israel got more manna than they needed for a day? Next morning there was worms in it. We've been throwing away blessings that were spoiled because we kept them at our house. They weren't supposed to be at our house. They were supposed to be hanging over the wall. You know what a church is supposed to do? A church ought to be so generous and so focused on others that people walk in the doors. We don't even know where they come from, Brother Byron. But they say, I was going by out here and I saw fruit hanging over the walls. And I said, man, a place that's got this much of God blessing them, I got to get in on it. Say, can we afford to be a blessing to other people? We can't afford not to be. And I ain't talking about the church's budget. I'm talking about your budget. It's amazing how folks will vote, Brother Jeff, to spend the church's money. Hey, I like it when people say, church already blessed enough. I want to get blessed. I want to get in on this. How many of you have experienced the grace of God in your life? It ought to be hanging over the walls for the people. You have comfort that God has comforted you with? You say, yeah, I have. Well, God got me through a dark time. Well, who are the people you're helping get through a dark time? It ought to be hanging over the walls. You got some money in your wallet? Got some free time on your schedule this week? You got some talent you've had on the shelf for far too long? You got some financial resources you're trying to figure out where to invest it? Let it hang over the wall. You know what's awesome, Brother Kelly, about it hanging over the wall? I don't get to decide who gets it. Just needy people will grab it. You know what I want the entire Johnson County community to think when they think of Grace Baptist or Fellowship Baptist Church? I want them to think that's that church where it's hanging over the walls. That's that church that just tries every way it can to be a blessing to other people. You want your kid to go to a youth conference? We'll help pay their way. We'll bring our cars by and pay for a car wash and put 40, 50 bucks in the plate and then go home and wash it ourselves. Because it wasn't about getting a car wash. It was about it hanging over the wall. Missionary comes by. Just a few months ago, by the way, I want to say thank you to the whole church. I don't think a one of you voted not to take on our pastor from Iraq and our pastor from Egypt. Man, these guys are on the front lines, buddy, with the gospel. Our church is about ready to take on the pastor of the first fundamental Baptist church in the history of the world in Baghdad, Iraq, the place that Abraham came from. Hey, listen, that's hanging over the walls. I said, that's hanging over the walls. God was big enough to give it to you the first time. If you'll trust him and be a blessing, he'll give it to you again. Why would God give Brother Ken a song unless he wanted Brother Ken to sing it and be a blessing to us? Why would God lay a truth on my heart unless he wanted me to take that truth and put it into a sermon and deliver it to you? Why would God give us the gospel unless he wanted us to bless others with it? Why would God give you and I success and financial resources unless he wanted us to bless others with it? Here's the principle. If you want more, you got to share more. You know who the little kid is that you want to keep buying toys for? The one who shares his toys. Buddy, when they're taking, if you're like me, buddy, if they're taking that truck away from their brother and then hitting them over the head with it and saying it's mine, my flesh says, that's the last toy you're ever getting, sucker. I paid for that with good hard cash money, and here you are beating your brother with it. Brother Rob, I wonder if the Lord looks down at us and says, oh my goodness, I bless these people so much, and they're hitting each other over the head with trucks. It's my truck. I'm smarter than you. The Lord says, I'm smarter than all of you, and I don't like what I see. I blessed you, and I want you to be a blessing. I'm done. Our church is like countless other churches this morning, filled with Christians who I fear in many cases are in a rut. Y'all listening to me? In a rut. The rut of being blessed, but you've stopped being a blessing. Can I beg you this morning to let it start hanging over the wall?